Gore readings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to another episode of Flesh Wound Horror, our shallow special. I'm Daniel Shine, joined by producer Todd Loya.
Good evening.
Pugs Dread.
Hello.
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So Kruger, explain to the good folks how this all works.
So what we're doing for our first episode of our Giallo special is rating and reviewing four different Gialli. And then at the end of the episode, we will eliminate one film off the list we have compiled, leaving us with three Giallo films. And then after this episode, we will be reviewing each Giallo singularly and then eliminating it from a list, including whatever film that is, and the three films we're going to have at the end of the episode tonight. So now that that's out of the way, Todd, why don't you tell us what a Giallo is for some that may not know?
All right. Full disclosure, I'm getting my information from Giallo Files blogspot.com if you guys want to look up more info. So what is a Giallo? If you're new to Giallo films, you may wonder what exactly is it that defines the genre. That's actually a source of great debate among film enthusiasts. And we love to argue whether or not a movie is a real Giallo or it falls into other some subcategory, which we've kind of talked about. To Italian audiences, it's quite simple. Giallo is synonymous with thriller. Any movie with action and suspense, from The Third Man, Silence of the Lambs, to Night of the Living Dead, is called Giallo. But to American audiences, this is where it kind of changes up a little. To American audiences and film buffs, the criteria is more complex. Making Giallo a narrowly defined subgenre. Sometimes films are incorrectly referred to as Italian horror or spaghetti horror. I know, Dad, calm down. But this definition is far too broad. It would also include zombie movies, ghost stories, slasher flicks. Yeah. That lack of important Giallo elements, the definitions change depending on who you ask. But essentially, a Giallo is a stylish murder mystery. That's the long of it. One thing, though, is, for, you know, I was talking about what they're defined of in Italy. If there's no murder in it, it's not a Giallo. So even if it's a murder mystery. So I guess technically, spoiler, it is like 35.
On screen murder?
Yeah. It says if there's no murder. It doesn't say on screen.
You said murder. If it's a murder mystery, that's confusing.
Okay. You know, you're right. If it's a mystery, but it has to have a murder. So I guess then they wouldn't consider. I know this spoiler is like 36 years old, so I think I'm okay. 40? Yeah, 36? April Fool's Day would not be considered a Giallo in Italy.
So basically here, Hannibal better have some freaking gloves on. Black gloves on.
Well, that's where it gets kind of like dicey. What is an actual slasher? But
yeah,
murder mystery, high gore. See, that's, but see, it's not always that, but normally you have stylish gore.
Yeah. Who done it?
And yeah, it's a murder mystery with some.
Yeah. To me, like Pugs just said, like a thing that I see common with a lot of them, you know, usually there's a cop or somebody investigating, you know, murders happening. There's, you know, a kind of whodunit type of deal, kind of like, you know, later on, obviously Scream, I feel like, is heavily influenced by Giallo films because, you know, it's very whodunit and, you know, twists and turns. And also with Giallos, they just seem to always be more artistic than your typical slasher film. So that's where I see they're more differing. And, you know, especially the police tie-in, because there's usually always a police tie-in somehow. Or, like I said, somebody investigating.
I was going to say, or it's someone who's like ill qualified to be investigating the crime, but who's investigating the crime, the dance, or they'll be helping the cops.
Dan logic.
So, yeah, but it's always fun. Once you get watch enough, you can really spot like, okay, this isn't. And I know there's some borderline ones, and some that would qualify in more than one genre. I know I'm just going to put it out there. We aren't putting Tenebrae in here. because that's one of the elites. Same with Deep Red. Mm-hmm. The Animal Trilogy, we're not. New York Ripper is an what?
But you can check that show out already.
Yes. New York Ripper is another one. Because they're all, those are like the top upper echelons of, so we're trying to do a little bit more
deep dive.
Yeah. But there's still some that are not super deep dive, but we got a good mix.
Probably the first one we're talking about today.
And the biggest thing for me is I'm very new to this genre. So a lot, probably everything we're going to watch on this is going to be a first time watch for me. I'm pretty excited.
To make it easier, you could tell us which ones. I've seen this one before, so we know which ones you have.
Yeah.
So
all right. So
Dan, go for it.
We're gonna have a lot of giallos for you guys. So we're gonna kick it off with the Mario Bava film from 1971, A Bay of Blood, which we'll talk the many, many alternate titles, but Twitch of the Deaf Nerves, the other most popular one.
That's the one I like.
I like that one too. It's got a lot, though. It wasn't actually the first. Carnage was the first U.S. title. It was rated V for violence, and then they had an issue with the MPAA and it got changed to the better-known title.
Well, you want to know what my favorite other title was?
Yes, I do.
One of the re-release titles was Last House on the Left Part 2.
Oh, yeah. Although it came... Time Machine, right? Like Chud and Us? Yeah.
It came out a year before.
Oh yeah, Bloodlust of the Devil. Chain That's a Reaction. Good name too. It had a lot. Some are always, there's some that are kind of deceptive, but yeah. So anyways, Bay of Blood, one of the most influential horror films of all time, Mario Bava's Bay of Blood, aka Twitch of the Deaf Nerve, is the spurting artery from which all future slasher films would flow. When crippled Countess Frederica is murdered at her isolated mansion, a gruesome battle ensues to secure the rights to her valuable property around the bay. Everyone from the illegitimate children to shady real estate agents stake a claim only to be killed in increasingly bizarre ways, from simple shootings to impalements by a fishing spear. The shocking special effects are by Carlo Rambaldi, who would later go on to earn an Oscar for Alien and E.T. Okay, so Bay of Blood is a very important film. As you can see, irregardless of what Sean Cunningham says, Friday the 13th borrowed pretty heavily. The Friday the 13th franchise borrowed pretty heavily.
Part two straight fucking Jack moved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Cunningham, I'm sorry. You're full of shit.
Didn't they admit that for the second one, though? Because he still says no on the first.
It's like shot for shot. I mean, there's...
I'm not arguing.
It's hard to sit and watch this and... you make a case for it just being a coincidence because it is a lot. But yes, I mean, this film very much.
Before we go too far, it's also like a lot of Superman movies where it's like, it's just about real estate.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this one, this is one that I really consider a must see for anybody really, because it is. I mean, it's just, you forget, and it doesn't get the credit it deserves, much like a Black Christmas. You know, so many films get more attention, and I feel that's unfair with this. And truthfully, Mario Bava, arguably greatest horror director of all time, you can certainly make the case.
I got some arguments on that.
Yeah, you can always argue that, but he's in the discussion.
Oh, no.
He had to shoot this one pretty cheap. This was like a tax trouble movie. So you look at how well it's made. He had to pull double duty as the cinematographer. He had to use like an old radio flyer wagon for the tracking shots.
Whatever you got to do to get it done.
And you would not guess that. I mean, this film feels larger than what it is. And, you know, we've reviewed some other Bava movies recently where, you know, he pulls off masterpieces with very little means. I mean, getting into the film, this is a safe entry point. If you do kind of like want your gore and,
You also want to, you do want to mention, this is good for slasher fans because of the history of what we go to from it. And, you know, giallo fans alike.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, there's no arguing. Like, well, we'll get to Krueger more specifically later, but I mean, actually, I'll save it for right before you talk, Krueger, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I may be throwing this around a lot with some of the movies that we're going to cover, but this one to me is a masterpiece. I think it's a lot better than a lot of films that did borrow from it down the line. Probably one of my favorite endings in a giallo. Just this film, and there's so many possibilities. I love the twists and turns. You know, God, someday we're gonna have to do Mario Bava versus Dario because that that would be interesting. But
I think Mario versus Lamberto would be more interesting for me.
Yeah, definitely. That's still tough though. Maybe less tough though, but we'll I don't know. There's a lot of possibilities there. But yeah, man, I mean this one, you will, if you're looking at some of the giallos early on in the game and thinking like, oh, this is too slow paced for me, I don't think you're going to have an issue with this film. Definitely pick up the Kino Blu-ray. The score by
I'm going to say the era Blu-ray is the better release, just putting it
there. Yeah,
if you're region free, because that one is
locked. Yeah,
no, I'm sorry, no, it's not. That was region free. Oh, yeah,
interesting. Okay, I thought that one was
far superior version.
Okay, yeah, so get the Arrow one then. The score by Stelvio Cipriani. Oh yeah, Arrow, it's rarely that they're beaten lately, for sure.
They're heads above Criterion, so.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Criterion's a little overrated sometimes. I will say it. I love what
they produce very boring extras. So if you're a fan of extras, they are pretty boring. They're dry.
Oh, absolutely. But, so, yes, we're kicking it off with a Titan. Krueger, what did you think of
Well, Day of Blood? Real quick, I'm going to ask him specifically. As a slasher fan, I know this is, you know, you said it first time watch, but you've heard about it and you've heard about the connections. So yeah. I'm really curious to see your thoughts and everything about that. That part specifically, I know you got other stuff, but that's what I'm most interested about.
Well, I'm pretty much, you know, with you guys. There's no doubt in my mind that this inspired the shit out of the slasher genre, but specifically Friday the 13th. But I'll get more into that. So to start off, I gotta say, cinematography on this shit's really good. The opening shot of like the bay was really cool, and then we jump into like this shot where you're in the POV of a fly, and there's a lot of creative stuff like that in this movie. Which is really impressive. It has a pretty awesome soundtrack too. Like a lot of bongos playing. It was different, and I really, really liked it. We get into the action like pretty quick with a pretty awesome opening kill involving the hanging of a crippled lady to just, you know, get your attention. And then we start to learn about our characters, and they're all like very enjoyable and felt so familiar to the 80s slasher. Like really familiar. I mean, it was definitely, you know, a bunch of kids want to go fuck in the woods type of deal. And you could totally see how Bay of Blood inspired, you know, the slasher genre in that area. The kills in this movie are fantastically brutal, especially for early 70s film. The gore looks fucking great. And you again see how this film inspired kills in Friday the 13th. Like Todd said, shot for shot shit in Friday the 13th part two, which I'll talk about more specifically later when we get into spoilers. But I also like why being like, oh, that's kind of lame, Friday the 13th ripped off of it. It made me kind of appreciate this movie more because I always loved those kills in the franchise. The final act at first kind of confused me, but then, you know, it started to become clear what the fuck was really going on. And I fucking loved where the story ended up. The very end of the film, like at first, really bothered me. But then I sat on it. I was just like, fuck, that's fucking brilliant. Like, why are you mad about this? The shit's fucking like really, really good writing. So overall, I loved almost everything about this movie, to be honest. I'm kind of with you, Dan. I think it's a masterpiece, and it's probably my favorite Jowly I've seen so far. Especially, you know, for the amount of violence and gore we get in this, as well as it just being so inspirational to the slasher genre I fucking love, I adore this movie and really highly recommend it to anybody that hasn't seen it and you love Friday the 13th. Make this a must watch on your list because, man, so many fucking parallels with those movies. And obviously, yep. You know, it was over, or, you know, it was almost a decade later. Friday the 13th. I mean, this was you want to talk about movies ahead of their time? A Bay of Blood is fucking ahead of its time. So that being said, Pugs, what do you think about Bay of Blood?
It is definitely a blueprint, whether intentional or not. Sean Cunningham, you can tell. Like,
you know what? Yeah. We shouldn't even be giving Sean all that shit because wasn't it, you know, who just got the rights back? Fucking,
Victor Miller.
Thank you. So, I mean, he was the one cribbing it. I'm sure because Sean told him he wants the Halloween.
Yeah.
So I think he just combined Halloween and Bay of Blood on this one.
Smart move. Yeah,
definitely.
That's what you got to do. And yeah, this is definitely a must-see. I've always liked this movie, but I never really took the time to appreciate like how actually good it is. It's fucking awesome. The ending in particular. Like, there's a couple of movies that have super strong endings, and I would put this up against, like, Don't Look Now. It's, like, really, really fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Really brutal that the old lady getting hanged. Fucking badass. Like, that's the coolest way to open up a movie. And, like, the fact that she's in a wheelchair, and they like, that's just messed up. She can't push up to save herself. Fucking awesome.
The way he kicks her wheelchair out from under is fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucking rude and brutal. Yeah, this movie's fucking great. Must see. Masterpiece and must see. So, what about you, Mr. Todd?
I'm with you. This movie's it's awesome. It's a great giallo. It's works great as a slasher. I mean, especially since it's such a blueprint. I'm not going to say, you know, where it's going to lie in this one. I'll just say it has a pretty good shot of making it out of this round. I'm just going to go with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty safe bet if you're a gambling man.
All right. Well, I guess we should just rate this then. I don't think I'm going to have surprises on this. Dan, why don't you go first?
5. It's a must see.
Yes. I'm just going to throw I'm a 5 too.
I'm a
5 as well. So there we go.
One big hole, guys.
There we go. Finally. Yeah, I didn't think that was going to be hard. So like I said, I think this will make it in the first round. All right. On that, Dan, why don't you tell us what we have coming up next from 1975?
Well, our next one, which I'm really disappointed because it must have been in the wash. I do have a t-shirt, but I didn't have it.
Oh, I don't want to know what you're using it for.
Yep.
So anyways, I was not. It's not going to deny it. By itself, Todd. It's not the special sock. Anyways.
He likes to clean. So.
Our next one is from another diehard name or huge name in the giallo genre.
And in Italian cinema, period.
Oh, yeah.
Rocco Siffredi?
Umberto Lenzi, who has done it all. I mean, you run down that guy's filmography, it's just insane. And this is the 1975 Giallo Eyeball, Eyeball might just be the late great Umberto Lenzi's greatest giallo. Gruesome and grueling, this torrid tale of a black-gloved killer with a fetish for plucking out the peepers of his unlucky victims is a personal favorite of Pulp Fiction genius Quentin Tarantino, and it's easy to see why. That's a short and simple description.
I can do this one. A maniac killer in a red cape and hood is killing off American tourists on a tour bus by gouging out their eyeballs.
There you go.
With a Dan as a tour guide.
Oh, Dan. Super Dan.
All right. Well, Kruger, why don't you just...
I will own it.
Go for it.
So going in, I was pretty excited for this. Umberto Lenzi helped write one of my favorite Italian slashers, which is Nightmare Beach, which also really feels like a giallo too. I love the opening credits with the shot of the funhouse and how we come back to that for a kill later. I love the setting of mid-70s Italian city. It made for like really amazing backdrops and definitely complimented a lot of already well-done cinematography in the movie. I wasn't huge on a main character, but he kind of understands some of the motives for his actions, and he won me over a little bit, but not enough. There's a few solid side characters, though, that had fun, witty dialogue, like that tour guide that we already brought up, super pervy. Dan, you guys must be related. Like, are you Italian?
It's part.
Yes, he is.
All right. So, yeah. So Dan's descended in the movie. I also dug the lesbian couple and how one just straight up smacks the living shit out of the other one and then immediately apologizes. I'm sorry, honey bunny. There's like little nuggets of gold in, like that in this movie. Yeah. I dug our killer's look with the red raincoat and the red gloves. It was a pretty dope look. I also dug their signature mark, you know, them tearing out the left eye of their victims. That was a nice touch. Definitely something like you would see in a slasher. The kills themselves were good too. We get some brutal stabbings, a nice throat slit, and lots of eyeball removal gore, which I dug a lot. I didn't like the soundtrack at all, though. They replayed the same fucking song over and over and over and over. It was driving me fucking crazy. And by the end of the film, I was over that shit. The movie also drags a little bit in the third act. Luckily, it picks back up with twists and turns towards the end, especially, you know, to keep you guessing who the killer is. And we get a pretty good grand reveal when we find out who the killer is. But that kind of leads into a finale that I wanted more from. I would have maybe liked to see more of struggle, and I did call who the killer was. It wasn't, you know, they threw you off sometimes, but it was kind of obvious. So overall, I liked a lot. There was room for improvement, and it's not like one of my favorites, but it's still pretty damn good. I highly recommend it for slasher fans because this one does feel more like a slasher than some of the other giallos I've seen. So, Pugs, what'd you think of Eyeball?
This was actually a first time watch for me. I never saw Eyeball before. And now I understand why Dan has his shirt. This movie's fucking awesome. I had a blast watching it. That ending is fucking gross. Like, well, I won't spoil it right now, but like, that was cool to look at. And yeah, I was sold. The cast is funny. I really liked everybody. And it was just a good little mystery. I really enjoyed it. And I'm shocked it took me so long to get to it, but I'm happy to be here now.
Well, technically, we still don't have a U.S. release because this is the 88 Films region-free Blu-ray we checked out.
Yeah.
And actually, one of my first... It was definitely my first three import DVDs. One of them was Eyeball because I hadn't seen it and been hearing about it. And glad I did. This one is just, it's more the giallo traits we know and love with the gore and the other stuff. I mean, not levels of Bay of Blood, but I mean, well,
I wouldn't say to that
extent. Yeah. So it's Lindsay always does good work, and this one I do really enjoy. Yeah. Dan?
Yeah, you can definitely see that progression. We're kind of getting into the sleazy giallos at this point, although, oh man, it's booming by 75. So many great ones came out just even that year. And the Barcelona locations, beautiful. I think kind of makes it stand out a little bit from just Italy. And this is the sleazy one. This is definitely the not your parents' giallo era at this point. And then probably will be more accessible for a lot of people for that reason. God, Umberto, man, I mean, just as prolific in the giallo genre. I mean, Quiet Place to Kill, So Sweet, So Perverse, all the Carol Baker, which if you have that awesome box set, you've seen those. Seven Bloodstained Orchids, Spasmo, those are all huge names in the giallo genre. And this is just a lot of fun. Again, you're probably gonna guess the killer, as Kruger said. You know, I mean, it's not as obvious as some giallos, but that might hold it back a little bit for some of you. But this has the sleaze, this has the gore, this has the hilarious characters, the lesbian couples, hilarious. Yeah, I don't want to call it a must-see, but if you really find you're really loving these giallos and you get deeper into them, you will want to check it out. I do enjoy this one quite a lot.
Yeah. Do you want to just go ahead and rate this one?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's do it. Who wants to go first?
Well, I am a 3.5 on Eyeball. Some issues, but it's entertaining as hell.
I'm actually the same. I'm 3.5. I do really enjoy this one, but it's still lacking a little. Like, there is definitely room for improvement.
I think I looked at it with first time eyes, because it's going to get a 4 from me.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was tossed up between a 3.5 and a 4, and I really wanted to give it the 4 because it did have, you know, some decent gore, but just the third act and me guessing the killer and the finale kind of falling flat for me, 3.5 I think is fair. So 3.5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, we haven't got to the ones where you're not going to guess the killer because it's so batshit crazy. We'll get to some of those, though. Like, that doesn't even make sense, but okay. all right, well, next we got some Lucio Fulci. I mean, we really started off with, like, the heavy hitters on this. We had Mario Bava, Umberto Lenzi, we got Fulci, and we got the other Bava, so it's a good start. So.
The other Bava.
The younger Bava?
I like the other Bava. That's fine with me.
Well, I didn't even say that because I said I put him head to head with his father. So Mario's the other Bava? I don't know. Or, at least he did not name his son Luigi. I'll just say that.
That, you know what? I'm disappointed he didn't do that. I hope he has a girlfriend named Peach.
As long as he can untangle an extension cord on
that. Fair enough.
So, Dad, Murder Rock, why don't you tell us about this 1984 Lucio Fulci film?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And are you going to sing us the song?
We will lose every single year. Everyone will subscribe if I try and sing that. Even if I sang it well, I think we would lose everybody. But all right. So the competition is fierce at the Arts for Living Center in New York City. The best of the best are dying and for a part in a major production, but only a select few will be chosen. Now the contenders are being narrowed down at the hands of a killer who uses a deadly hat pin to pierce through women's hearts and through their bare breasts. There you go. So Murder Rock. Dude, that you got to trademark that. That is awesome. new modern giallo. So Murder Rock is definitely getting into that era where, you know, you're not in the same elite era for giallos. This one's definitely more in this kind of silly, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. You can obviously see the Flashdance influence at this point. It's the music is horrible,
Whoa. You're talking a little crazy there. That was like a big deal to have him do the soundtrack. And it's not really ripping off Flashdance, the aerobics craze of the 80s.
It's the aerobics, but Flashdance.
I saw Flashdance in it too.
Yeah. Big time. And I haven't seen Batman since I was like 8.
Because that's about aerobic shit too.
I get that. But yeah, the Keith Emerson, I believe, does the music.
Yeah, he does.
And you also get the breakdancing craze at that time too. In fact, same year, if I'm not mistaken, and you would be the expert on this, Todd, but I believe the same year as Breakin'.
I am surprised he did not say you're the expert, Pugs.
Same. That's but sad. if it's Electric Boogaloo, I'm down.
Murder Rock 2, Electric Boogaloo.
You know, what's funny is Fulci wasn't new to musicals. I mean, a lot of those are not available anywhere, but he wrote lyrics as well, so it wasn't new for Fulci per se. This one, holy shit, is there some politically incorrect stuff. Some slurs being thrown around. A good look at Jaretta, who is awesome, and get some decent screen time in this one. Like I said, this is a tough one because it's fun, but it's not very good. I do want to clear something up. This is not one of Fulci's TV movies, which there's some confusion over that because
I've never heard that
he had he had had an interview where he was kind of misquoted. Definitely not House of Clocks or some of his TV work.
Not that there's anything wrong with the Fulci TV films.
No, they're actually not bad.
I like a couple of them, but not Giallos either. So
no, not Giallos. And Fulci at this point was trying to tone things down because New York Ripper had major issues. Like he caught a lot of heat coming off of New York Ripper. So yeah, this one's dumb but fun. Kruger, what'd you think of Murder Rock?
Yeah, the amount of dancing at the beginning, I was like, oh fuck, this movie's gonna be a trip.
I love the opening.
The dialogue had funny moments. One in particular that got me was when the detective says that to the professor, the school was filled with a bunch of sons of bitches. Like, that shit was pretty funny. I wasn't really big, though, on any of the characters other than that investigator. He was pretty great, but other than him, there wasn't really anybody I particularly liked. And I just kind of wanted to see everybody get killed and how, you know, badass the ending is going to be with, you know, with the investigator exposing it. The story had me intrigued at first, but it really started to lose me after the first kill, minus a few laughs I got from the dialogue, probably where I shouldn't have laughed. I was kind of bored, mainly because like the kills themselves were just the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, like, granted, the weapon of choice is cool, but I wish there was at least a little bit of variety than just stabbing a chick in the titty. Like, I need more than, like, for one kill, that's cool. But
I get it is a little too repetitive.
Yeah, and thankfully, the ending had a twist I didn't see coming that was pretty solid, but I did want a little bit more. So overall, this is probably the weakest Fulci film I've seen. By no means am I going to say it's garbage, but don't expect New York Ripper style deaths in this, because that's kind of what I was like, oh, fucking Fulci Giallo galore, stab more chicks in the vag. And I got like this kind of tamed down with the kills, and it just too much fucking dancing for me. More dancing than gore is not a good thing for Kruger to watch. So, Pugs, what do you think about this one?
Treating titties like voodoo dolls and Pinhead, I'm not gonna judge the movie harshly. This was fun. I'm with you. It had a little too much dancing, but I'm fine. I like, they're stabbing titties. I'm not gonna be mad at this movie. Like, you, I'm easy to please, and that did it. The story is a little weak, but yeah, I had a good time with it. Yeah, I'm good with it. What about you, Todd?
Yeah, it's a little weak, and I joke, but I have a ton of fun of this. I fucking laugh at the aerobic shit, because that was just such an annoying craze. Yeah. But the movie, yeah, it's fun. The song is kind of repetitive, but it still makes it doesn't bother me. It gets stuck in my head. I finally lost it. But now that I'm talking about it, it'll probably pop back in there.
You know, real quick, there's an episode of SVU that I think borrows from this. Law and Order SVU. It's about a murder that takes place around a dance studio. And like but they modernize it. There's a sex tape that leaks. But when I was watching this, or when I was watching the SVU episode, I was like, this seems very familiar. So just throwing that out there.
But Ice-T doesn't have like an extended flash dance scene with Brett Dahl.
No, but he did have a break dance. I'm just kidding, man. Ice-T's too cool for that shit.
I was going to say, you're going to have me looking through like 50 years of Law and Order to find that clip.
That's a good time. Show's awesome.
All right, well, I guess on that, we should probably rate this one.
Absolutely. I'm a 2.5. This one's a fun, bad movie.
Right on.
I'm a 3 out of 5. Like I said, I didn't hate it. There was enough there to, you know, keep me semi-entertained, but I felt like this one had a lot more potential. Especially, I would have liked it a lot more if they would have switched up the kills. That's kind of what took away the most from me.
That's my biggest criticism of this one is we don't switch up the kills, but I also get they're going for like a pattern, yeah. But visually, you know, you like a variety, especially when it comes to Giallo. But I'm a 3 also. I do really enjoy this one. It is campy, dumb fun. Don't go in expecting New York Ripper and you should be good.
Right, I'm with Dan. I'm going to go 2.5 needles and titties.
Well, there you go. Well, shit, we're already to our last one. It's gone so quick.
Speaking of titties.
Well, yeah.
Lamberto Bava. I literally messaged Dan while I was watching. I'll just say this. I was kind of high, and I was like, I am literally getting distracted by those titties.
Dude. I'm not even I'm usually not that guy, but it was happening to me too. That she is so fucking hot. It's not even fucking funny.
I'll tell you the exact part when she's wearing like the nighty. She's walking like in the room and you see
the rain.
Yeah. I was like, I think it was in the rain, whatever. So what I couldn't stop focusing. And yes, yeah. I'm sorry. We're perving out at a woman. Sorry. Watch it, you'll understand it. It's distracting.
My girl was perving out on her, for fuck's sake. Like that chick is fucking goddamn gorgeous.
So,
but on that note, now that we got the perving out of the way, Dan, why don't you tell us the description?
Yeah. We don't like to Dan up the women. We absolutely we respect him.
We're gonna cover now the 1987 film from director Lamberto Bava, Delirium, Photo of Gloria. Just to clear, not to be confused with the Renato Pulcelli flick with Mickey Hargate, which is also one you should see if you like Euro sleaze. All right, so Gloria is a buxom centerfold working for Pussycat magazine. In such a profession, having an admirer or two is expected, but Gloria's admirer is a vicious killer. He murders her fellow magazine models one at a time using a variety of twisted implements of death. Gloria is the lucky recipient of a collection of photos, each with murdered bodies arranged around posters of her. So one thing we talked about before the show, Gloria is how it's pronounced in the English dub. So I know
it's Gioria and yeah.
So
in the native,
I'm going with Gloria.
You know what? And we have not brought this up the whole time. So I'm going to put it out there. The difference between the dubs and the English, honestly, I know some people want to do a native language, but when it comes to Italian cinema,
sometimes it don't matter.
There is no true native language. They're all dubbed no matter what language they're in. They don't shoot on set sound. Half the time your actors are speaking whatever their native tongue is or speaking phonetically because they're thinking of English markets. So really, I know some people are you know, snobs, like you must watch this in whatever language. When it comes to Italian cinema, specifically Giallo, watch what you like. It doesn't matter.
You made it.
They're all dubbed.
Like Godzilla, yeah. You know, you're just used to the dubbing.
Yeah. I know some people are like weird, but I'm just putting it out there. You don't have to like, well, I need to watch it in the Italian, you know, you know, original language. You're not really, so watch what you like.
Absolutely. So Kruger, what'd you think of Delirium?
So I'm a big fan of Lamberto Bava's work. Like Devilfish and Demoni are like two of like my favorite Italian horror movies ever. So I was fucking really excited for this. So the start has had great cinematography, like I said, common theme in Giallo, but I especially like the uses of flashing red light when a murder was about to happen or when we're looking through the POV shot through the killer's eyes. It also had a great soundtrack that would like switch up to hard rock when the killer came into play, and I thought that was a really nice touch. The movie had like this, like you guys already talked about, this super sleazy charm. There's tons of nudity, erotic lesbian tension, and sleazeball characters galore in this. And I love that. I love their main character, Gloria. She's super likable, not just for her looks, but like she's just doesn't let this old bitch try to bring her down and give her shit for being a prostitute in her past. And like, I was like, girl power, that's fucking awesome. You know, she basically just told this bitch off and said, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want with my body. And and that she was just basically mad that she wasn't getting a piece of her ass. Like I that won me over big time. And then as the movie goes on, you really start to feel for her because you know that her intentions are actually good. And she didn't like all the publicity she's getting from her magazine due to the murders. And not to mention, like we said before, smoking hot. Speaking of the corpses, or talking about corpses in this movie, I really dug all of them and the way like they looked. Like it was subtle makeup, but you saw like subtle decomposition in the corpses. And then the way the killer would pose them, you know, with the big modeling photos blown up in the back, that was pretty neat. And the practical effects were really good. Like I love when we're looking through the killer's eyes and he saw the women's faces in various monstrous ways. They just had really good, cool makeup effects on the way he would see the women. And I'll talk about that more specifically when we get into the spoiler section. But yeah, that was like one of my favorite things about this film, and it threw me off because I was just like, did I just see that right? What the fuck is going on? The story does a good job of keeping us guessing who the killer is, and every time you thought you had it figured out, like you know, some other giallos, they would just completely shut you down and be like, nope, that's not the killer, try to figure it out with somebody else. And I love that, because like anytime I was like, oh, I have the killer, you would, you know, find their corpse, or they'd get killed off real quick, or they'd be finding somebody else's corpse and freaking out, and you'd be like, oh, it couldn't be that guy. So I thought that was really well done, and because of that, it led to like a really satisfying conclusion for me. So overall, I fucking love this one. I thought it was one of the best Yali we've seen so far, and I'm definitely going to rewatch this one again and again as time goes on. It's another one of those ones that I feel like have pretty strong slasher elements in there too. So yeah, really love Delirium. So Pugs, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, this movie's fucking awesome. The main character, bombshell, I was rooting for her the entire time. I'm like, stop putting this lady in danger. You guys are fucking up her day. She deserves better than this. I absolutely despised homeboy in the wheelchair, but he won me over.
You talk about wheelchair, yes, Dan?
Wheelchair Dan.
The handy capable brother of Richard Ramirez, sir.
You're right, dude. What did I say? Richard Wheelmirez.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. yeah, that dude won me over. This movie's fucking awesome. I think it should be bigger. It should have a bigger following than it already has. Yeah, everybody go out and see this. Fucking rad. It's just a good time, and it's an easy watch, which I always appreciate.
You know, we have a scene in here where obviously Nicolas Cage got his inspiration for the B scene. Correct. But all right. Yeah, I fucking love this film. That's why I wanted to make sure this somehow made it in here. Yeah, and sorry we perved out a little earlier. They were kind of distracting while watching it. And speaking of that, there was only one thing bigger than those in the movie, and that was their fucking shoulder pads. God damn it, the '80s. I was like, Jesus Christ. Fucking LOD fucking there's a big fucking shoulder. I didn't get that it trend, but
Todd, are you gonna get that that see through red painting or photo blown up for your room there? I think you deserve it.
But yeah, I fucking love this one. It's entertaining, it's sleazy. It's got good looking women. It's got cool deaths. It's fucking one of the better late era giallos, in my opinion. So yeah. Dan, what do you think?
Oh, I love this movie. It's so 80s. the B scene is such a cool kill. It's sleazy as hell. I mean, this is really getting to not really even just the end of giallos. I mean, not that they ever really completely went away, but I mean, this is getting kind of towards the end of the heyday of Italian horror. But this is one of the more fun films from that era that you could possibly watch. Daria Nicolodi, rest in peace. She's in here, George.
A little over a month.
Yeah,
you put some respect on Asia Argento's mom's name. Come on.
Absolutely. George Eastman, who's always steals the show. But yeah, man, this movie's just such a good time. I had forgotten, maybe it just didn't click to me. I mean, I've watched this movie several times, but never clicked to me before that we do have a Richard Ramirez twin in this movie. You guys probably covered it all. It's got everything you could possibly want. Get the Code Red Blu-ray. It is just so much. It's just so much fun.
Yes, sir. shall we rate this motherfucker?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. So I am a 4. It's not a classic, but it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Kruger? I am a 4.5. It's a classic to me. I'm gonna fucking revisit this. Multiple times down the road, I can already tell. So 4.5 out of 5 for me. Definitely watch this if you're a slasher fan, because it hit the right notes for me.
I have to say, we didn't mention I don't know, maybe you did. Multiple things. The really cool visuals, the eyeball and some of the other stuff. I was gonna
talk about that in spoilers.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying how we went in there, but there was really cool visuals. I can't do any less than a 5. I fucking love this one.
Yeah.
I am a full 5 handful too.
I'll ask you later if this was the one you were going to fight for.
Yes. You know? It's too much fun, dude. Like it's just a good time.
Well, Well, on that note, do we want to here we go, get into it. What are we going to eliminate? We'll do the discussion. Sure. So I'll just to recap, what is up for elimination? Or, you know, we have 4 films right now. We got to get it down to 3 till we go into our other shows. So we have Bay of Blood from Mario Bava, Eyeball from Umberto Lenzi, Murder Rock from Lucio Fulci, and Delirium Photos of Gloria by Lamberto Bava. Well, why don't we start with are we going to get rid of Bay of Blood? I'm just going to say it's not happening. No, right, everyone wants
back and stay.
That's staying okay. For sure. I think that's staying till the end, to be honest. I don't know how anything's going to beat that for me, but
we'll see. Delirium, I'm going to go with that one next.
I would like that to stay.
Yeah, that needs to stay.
Dan?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the two I'm curious about. We have Murder Rock and Eyeball. I'm going to go one at a time on this one. Dan, which one do you want to eliminate?
Murder Rock goes for me.
All right. Pugs?
Zex, I will go Murder Rock, like Dan.
All right. I'm going to go Eyeball because I know it's not going to survive, but Eyeball.
Yeah, without question, Murder Rock. Get the fuck out of here. Okay.
All right. So.
Fuck, this is going to be hard.
This was the one I thought was going to be the easiest. It was going to be between the ones that we just mentioned. So that means we have left in this competition, we have Bay of Blood, Eyeball, and Delirium. And tomorrow we'll have another one up for elimination. So check it out what that's going to be. Well, real quick, Dan, before we go to spoilers, why don't you, you know, say a little something.
So be sure to like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube. Hit that notification bell. It really helps us out quite a bit, and we appreciate it. Also, we're on Patreon at patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. Exclusive, early, uncensored content. Lots of treats up there. And it all starts at just a buck. So you really help us out, and you can see us at our most deviant.
And yes, and we promise no Dan nudes. And actually, you know what? If you don't join for a buck, he might start sending you.
Oh, God. Now we're going to start threatening these good people. Get them, Dan.
All right. So on that note. Spoiler time. You have been warned. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, haven't seen these movies, come back. Check out the next show. If not, go well, or you can go check out our one earlier this month about the Animal Trilogy. Go check that out, Dario Argento's trilogy of films. Okay, well, spoilers. Who wants to go first? Not everyone.
Which one you guys want to start with?
Oh no, we'll go in order of what we did. So we'll start with Bay of Blood.
Okay, so yeah, putting kill like Pug said. It's just like, it's fucking mean as shit. Like, you know, seeing a crippled lady get fucking murdered like that. But like, what I loved about that scene is like, he murders her and then immediately gets stabbed. Like fucking, you know, like right after, the throw is completely off. Like, you're like, what the fuck just happened? What? Like, why the fuck did the killer just get, what is going on? Like, I also love the scene where the chick is skinny dipping and a corpse that's like tied to a rope gets caught on her leg and that makes the corpse touch her ass. Like, that was just fucking great. And also, like, when the killer's chasing her and he, you know, he has that blade and he pushes her back with the hook of the machete and then just starts sawing her fucking neck. That's like genius. That kill was fucking amazing. And then the kill right after, you know, homeboy opens the door and is met with a machete stabbed halfway through his fucking face. And that 100% is straight inspired the wheelchair kill in Friday the 13th part 2. It's the same exact like way the machete goes into the head. It's the same it's one of those shot for shot ones. And then, you know, right after we get the spear on the couple having sex, which is also inspired the kill in Friday the 13th part 2, where the spear, you know, goes through them, through the bed, through their bodies, through the bed while they're having sex. Totally copied from A Bay of Blood. There's no argument there at all. The aftermath gore of one of the corpse we find in the sea, like the visual we get of the octopus clinging onto his head. Oh my God. That scene is like my favorite scene in the movie. Cause it looked really fucked up, looked really good. It's found by, you know, the dead man's daughter, which, like, I was like, oh shit, like, I love that. Also, the decapitation via axe on Anna was pretty awesome. I loved the way they zoomed in on the severed neck of her, like, right after it happens, her head plops off and the camera zooms in on the fucking wound. That was nasty. Yeah, so like the ending, I love. Like, you know, it just turns out everybody's fucking killing everybody. I know you guys said that you like the twitch of a death nerve, of the death nerve, a little bit better as a title, but I feel like that gives it away.
I don't think so. That's actually the title we were used to growing up. That was what it was released as, and I don't think it ever tipped us off. So maybe after you watch it, it's my thing. Yeah. Is it's like the quarantine cover. Everyone's like, oh, that's a fucking spoiler. Only if you've seen the movie.
Fair enough.
So
yeah, it's harder to predict that one. There's just so much going on, so many red areas.
But I like Bay of Blood too. I like both titles. But I think we just grew up on the other one.
I
call it Bay of Blood now, though.
I do call it Bay of Blood now too. But just the twitch of the death nerve just sounds so fucking metal.
There's a cool, yeah, exactly. It has that really cool. That sounds more like a giallo than a Bay of Blood.
Right. Yeah, but it actually makes sense. Yeah. the children popping the fucking parents, they're like, what the fuck? Out of nowhere.
Well, they're playing like, dead, aren't they, is my favorite quote.
Well, and I love how like that it kind of complements the insanity of the movie. Like it, like at that, because at that point I wasn't 100% sure what was going on. Like I was like, why the fuck is everybody killing each other? And then, you know, you see the two kids kill parents and you're like, oh well, just everybody's a fucking killer, that's why. Like, it's not that complicated, motherfucker. It's pretty simple. And I just think that's that was fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Eyeball? So let's move on to Eyeball. Yeah. I particularly love the kill on the teenager in the funhouse, because like the way they were cutting to the creepy ass animatronics in that funhouse, and then you're just hearing her screams, like that was made for a cool visual. And then, you know, it cuts to the outside and you see her rolling, you know, in the cart. With her eye missing, that was good shit. Also, the stabbing in the throat slit on the strawberry blonde lesbian girl in the bathroom, I thought was pretty brutal. And like, you know, they could have got away with the, you know, the fucking knife pen, but they actually had an effect where you saw the throat slit open. That was a nice touch. And also, like, when it's revealed the killer is Paulette, and we watch her take her eyeball out, and like, she's walking around with no eye, all fucking crazy. That was great. I just wish she put up more of a fight, because the cop kind of blows her away real fucking quick. He's just like, oh, fuck this bitch. Boom, boom. She's done. And I kind of wanted to see a little bit more of it. Yeah, right. I kind of wanted to see more of a struggle. And I think that was probably what disappointed me the most about the film.
That fucking eyeball is gross. I like the missing eyeball. I fucking love that shit. Killer Cyclops, bitch.
Yeah, it's good. I know everyone's excited to talk about Murder Rock. So, what spoilers you got on that?
For me, I was like, I was kind of pissed, because I was like, oh, George being the killer, that's fucking so predictable. And because like I had legit like already called him. But then when they switch it on you and they're like, no, it's the teacher. And like the way they do it, I thought was pretty well done. And that's what brought it up. Like I could have easily gave it a lower rating, but the ending was strong. And that's kind of what won me over on the movie. Even though I didn't like it completely, I really liked that ending.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything to add. I know Dan has something on Delirium.
I just always really liked the angle of the killer POV, and just those awesome, the girl is the fly, the girl is the eyeball. I always thought that had a really good hook to it, which kind of elevates it among a lot of the giallo of that particular period, where things were definitely dying down.
This was one of my earliest giallos too.
Oh, really?
I want to say, this is the first giallo I saw when I knew what a giallo was.
Oh,
like I'd already seen Tenebrae, Deep Red, but I didn't know there was a specific word for that.
Home video, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, RoboCop stole the fucking scene from this movie. Shoot him in the dick. Oh, shit,
yeah. Dude, yeah, I popped that like it's hard when that happened. Because it was unexpected. Like, because I was already like, I already knew Mark was gonna shoot him. Like, you know, they kind of set that up for you to know that's gonna happen. But then he shoots him right in the dick, and you're like, oh my god, what the fuck, man?
You know what though? He deserved it. Messing with that bombshell of a woman, fuck him.
and his fucking sister, like, gross. Yeah. I mean, honestly, with her though, it's kind of hard to blame him.
Questions will be raised.
Fucking,
yeah, I kind of already want to watch.
I do. Too.
Yeah, it's and that first kill we get with the pitchfork, like I really dug that. And, like Dan said, the eyeball looks so fucking cool. The way they, you know, had it centered in her face and all the veins around it, it looked really dope. And also, like, you know, the bee kill, like the visual of the girl naked with a bee head was kind of creepy. I was like, oh, that's fucking, my body's telling me one thing and my mind's telling me the other. Like, what the hell? Fucking and then like the way the bee stings looked on her looked good. You know, they it was a good practical effect, and I liked how they, you know, made her, you know, all swollen and shit. So yeah, fucking definitely really love this one. I also love that Tony the brother faked his own death to throw you off majorly. That was fucking pretty smart.
Yeah, that was. You guys have anything to add on that one? I know. Well, Dan already said Bugs.
No, sir.
Spoiler, I love them titties. Was that it?
I mean, co-signing really hard.
Again, we're not trying to Dan it up because that's normally his thing.
Actually, he behaved himself. Good for you.
I know. I think he's like, I'm going to let them take the heat on this one. Took Dan about 4 hours to watch the movie, but that's another story.
He's true.
You got to rehydrate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's our first one in the books. We'll have another one, and hopefully, you know, hopefully it gets a little harder. I think the first one,
man, I think it's going to be extremely hard.
I think it will. Like the three we have now,
pretty fucking solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If I was Eyeball, I'd probably be the most worried of the three right now, but
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
I don't want to spoil it. I don't think that's a spoiler, but.
Anybody final thoughts before we start promoting and get the hell out of here? Nada?
Okay.
Well, you can fucking like, share, and subscribe. And like Dan said, put that bell button on so you know when we're around. Check us out on Patreon. Starts just at $1, but you can, again, donate whatever you want. You get early access and, most importantly, uncensored content. No nudes, though. At least not yet. So, please and thank you. Please check us out and spread the word. Yeah, sure. So everybody, let's get the hell out of here.
All right, I need some J&B.
Yeah, stay sick, motherfuckers. And don't ask for Dan's nudes. You don't want to see that shit.